Very cool arm tats, my good man. Curious with the arm signal. Of course, usually working on this shift or on Coast to Coast Live, the show that comes on before this, I never actually get to see anybody, and I'm in California tonight with the Talk Radio Seminar, where, sponsored by Radio and Records, Art Bell was honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award. George Norrie did the introduction. You'll hear both coming up tomorrow night when George fills in for Art on Sunday night, gives him the rest of the weekend off. And it's great. It was a terrific speech, both by George to introduce Art and Art to accept the award. I hope you listen to Coast to Coast AM on Sunday into Monday so that you can hear those special moments. And it was cool to all three be together. And it was just a profoundly wonderful weekend weather-wise too. And so it is that right now on the East Coast, it has already flipped over into the daylight savings period. The hour sprung forward. Before we get to Lauren Weinstein, let's go ahead and see whether anybody out there has noticed anything with their computer. Those are the open line calls we'll go to for the next hour or so. See if anything's happening on any of the equipment that, you know, experts wondered whether would flip out, melt down, shut down, be inoperable, whatever. So go take a look and then get back to us and take a look at the numbers if you need to online at coasttocoastam.com. And we'll get to the other question too, the privacy question. As we have been discussing, the FBI had to make an admission that they had violated the Patriot Act. They had not paid attention to their very own principles, the ones that they said they were going to live by, and in fact had to confess that through the investigation of the Justice Department's Inspector General that they had not followed the rules of the Patriot Act. And so people were spied on, about half of whom were U.S. citizens. Have you ever been spied on? Have you ever done the spying? It doesn't have to be about the Patriot Act. It doesn't have to be officially. Just what's your story on feeling like you were being spied on, and then later on finding out that, in fact, you were? We'll get to those along with a discussion about privacy and checking on the computers coming up next. It's Coast to Coast AM, and in for Art Bell, this is Ian Punnett. You know, Lauren Weinstein, for one reason or another, all night long, I kept going back and forth between Weinstein and Weinstein. And I think I do that every time. I don't know why.
Either one works.
No, but it's wrong. I'm sorry. I should write it on my hand or something.
Get a tattoo.
Yes, exactly, like Kiris has. We'll get to a couple of these privacy questions coming up in just a second. We're still waiting. I guess all's quiet on the Eastern Front if no one's calling and saying their computers are melting down because of the spring forward thing. So, Lauren Weinstein, let me ask you about what you know about this FBI admission, begrudging admission, that the official audit said as many as 22% of national security letters that were required weren't even recorded, and that of the 56,000 or so requests a year made by the FBI using the letters of the Patriot Act, about half of the targets were U.S. citizens, and many, many of those were not filed properly, did have the wrong documentation, had wrong justifications, and the FBI is basically being credited with kind of blown the whole Patriot Act thing. What do you do with that?
Yeah, it's actually even worse than that, because if you read the report, one of the key aspects of the report is that they point out that the situation is so confused and the databases are so screwed up and missing information that the Inspector General doesn't even really know how broad the abuses are. In other words, they can set sort of a floor on it, but they know there's a lot more that they can't find because there were no records kept,
right,
and the records they can find are all confused.
Right.
So we don't really know. You don't want to say we told you so to people.
Yes, you do.
But in this case, it seems appropriate because when the Patriot Act was put into place, a lot of people were concerned, and I was one of them, that while it had really good goals, most of it was for, you know, key purposes. We were just past 9/11, of course. But there were parts of it that looked very dangerous because history has always told us that when you do these sorts of surveillance legislations, if you don't have really bulletproof protections to protect privacy, if you just operate on a trustless basis, things always go wrong. There's always abuse. And this is the case. What's even worse is that the Department of Justice didn't even do this report on their own. The reason this report came about is
right.
because when Congress did the 2005 reauthorization of the Patriot Act, they built in the requirement to do this report, this audit. Otherwise, we wouldn't even have a clue now.
Okay, so what can we assume is accurately reported in this, and what would you be suspicious about is still yet unexplored in even these own admissions by the FBI or by the Justice Department?
Well, of course, you never know what you don't know, right?
So what do you suspect you don't know?
That's what makes this one so of such high concern. There are two aspects to this in particular that are really kind of scary. One is that there were lots of errors and operational things that were done wrong and apparently in violation of the law. In fact, I heard today that they're saying, you know, criminal charges are even possible from the side of the FBI and from the side of law enforcement that was making requests for information. Then on the other hand, it turns out that the organizations who were requested to supply information, the phone companies, internet providers, whoever, most of the time they were, happy to comply with anything that came along. They didn't request authorization. They didn't request signatures. They sometimes sent back more information that was requested. They sometimes sent information on the wrong people. It's just a mess all the way around.
Right. Oh, very interesting. Well, I'll tell you what, while we're having this conversation on the other issues, I know we'll tap in with you. Join me in bringing on some of the people who feel like or were originally thought that they were spied on. As it turns out, they were. Let's start with Lee in North Carolina with Lauren Weinstein, privacy expert. And you can link up to Lauren at coasttocoastam.com. Hey, Lee, you believe you were spied on by the CIA or the FBI?
Well, I don't believe it. I know it.
All right. When did you suspect it, and how were you able to prove it?
Well, 5.5 years ago is when it started, and I put an article on Renzi and also on Surfing the Apocalypse concerning an event that happened with me and three of my friends when we were camping. And without going to a tangent about extraterrestrials, we actually had an event, and I posted on there with names, dates, and everything concerning what had occurred. And I thought from that the government would actually come talk to me. I guess in youthful exuberance, I actually believed in the government. And I believe that they would probably want to talk to me directly. Instead, they began a campaign, if you will, terrorizing me. As I explained to them that these events happened, I had a number of friends, that, including myself now, that's dying of cancer, that died from cancer from exposure to a thing that was given to me and my friends that were camping there. In fact, all five of them have died except for me, and I now have a new kind of cancer that's incurable called... involves your liver. I forgot what it's called now. Nonetheless, out with the FBI.
But wait, you're dying of it, but you can't remember it?
I know what it's called. It's something cellular carcinoma.
Okay.
Mainly because it's so late and early in the morning, I can't remember.
That's fine.
Here he goes. Hepatocellular carcinoma.
And this is, and your friends that were all with you on that particular camping trip, they're all dead.
They're all dead. They died of spinal cancer, and the other died of intestinal cancer.
How fast since that event and since you started posting?
Less than a year apiece, they died. In fact, they were in Mountain Home, Arkansas. It was a man and a woman. And me, I've been sick for a long time, progressively getting worse until it's gotten to the point that I just got out of the hospital with hepatocellular carcinoma, which they said I've got about 6 months to a year to live.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm sorry about your friends.
I'm cool with that. I've accepted that.
Well, but I mean, that's fine. I'm still sorry about it. But how do you why do you say for sure that it's the CIA and the FBI?
Oh, I've got verification from a number of people who confirmed. In fact, I hold in my bedroom a souvenir from them where they stayed in the motel next to me, one of their cups where they drank out of, as well as this jacket that says Federal Bureau of Investigation, and another one that said Department of Homeland Security, given to me by the maintenance man of that motel to let me know that, as well as family members whom have tried to tell me and not tell me because they got a national security letter that they're not allowed to tell me that I was under surveillance. It's cost me my job because I'm a computer programmer. I lost my security clearance because of it, and I'm not able to do what I used to do.
Okay.
I stayed on the road.
I'm glad you shared that with us, and I appreciate the comment on it. And I hope that if that is in fact what you have, another 6 months, that you make the most of those 6 months. And I hope that the prognosis is wrong. And that you'll have many more. But Lauren, I mean, that's a fairly extreme example of what we're talking about. The FBI hasn't been accused of that in this report.
Yeah, and without addressing this particular situation, because obviously I don't know anything about it beyond what we've just heard, it does bring up an interesting point, which is when there are abuses of the national security apparatus, and in this case of this report, we're talking about abuses mostly relating to national security letters and to exigent letters and things like that, it undermines people's confidence in what's going on. And so when confidence is undermined, you're going to have a lot of people who become very concerned about these situations. It confuses people as to what's going on in some cases, and it's just bad all around. And, yeah. And so that's why it's so important to get these things right in the first place. Otherwise, you create an environment that's very, very detrimental.
All right, let's get to Sonny in New York. He was spied on Coast to Coast AM. Sonny, we're talking with Lauren Weinstein, and we're talking a little bit about this FBI piece. By the way, have you checked your computer, Sonny, if you're in New York? Did the mini Y2K, the spring forward thing, affect your electronics at all? Sonny? Sonny once?
Hello.
Yeah, there you go, Sonny. Go ahead, real quick.
Well, back in the 80s, I was driving my car, and through a wooded area, the car behind me contained Karen Silkwood. Are you familiar?
You were in a wooded area where, sir?
It was up in New York, up kind of up maybe near White Plains area.
Why do you think, what was Karen Silkwood doing there?
I don't know, but I turned off the main road and I went into this wooded area, and this car behind me contained Karen Silkwood because I heard somebody screamed her name, and then a shot rang out, and she went into a ditch, and I stopped my car. I was going to help her when I was approached by FBI agents who were, the whole place was crawling with FBI agents. They asked me if I was her bodyguard, and I said, no, I don't even know her. But, and so they let me go.
But Karen Silkwood was killed in Oklahoma.
I'm afraid not.
Okay, and she was killed in New York, and then the body was transported back to Oklahoma?
No, she was driving her car. She was very much alive.
Okay.
I don't know about Oklahoma.
Okay. All right. I thought that's what you. Maybe I'm wrong. She was. Maybe she was in New York. And I thought that she was near Oklahoma City, about 30 miles away. She was meeting with a New York Times reporter at the time she was killed. But and you believe after that, Sonny, you were spied on? Is your point?
Well, you see, in 1993, when I reported the terrorist activity to the FBI at the World Trade Center, they brought up the issue of Karen Silkwood.
Wow. What a weird coincidence that was, that you were at the center of the World Trade Center thing.
That's right.
Wow.
Because I noticed that they were conducting maneuvers in the garage where they eventually bombed the World Trade Center.
I appreciate it. Thank you for sharing that. And let's go first-time caller line. Bob is in Miami, Florida on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, Bob.
Nothing strange with the clocks, man.
Okay, so it's all good where you are?
Well, I run Linux. I don't run that Windows.
Okay.
Mac,
see,
that's, so I don't know if,
that's cheating.
Know if that
that's cheating because Linux is designed to get it right.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so good. I'm glad you gave us that update. How about you? Ever been spied on?
Well, I think we all have, and they listen to our phone calls on a regular basis. But my point that I'd like you guys to take away from my call is that we're looking at another symptom. The real problem is that we got the Patriot Act to begin with. Now, instead of talking about the abolishment, the fact that we should abolish the Patriot Act, we're talking about the abuse of the Patriot Act. Okay, I'm a college student. And I can't look up library books on Islam to try to learn about religion with an open view without being on a put on a list. And when I go through the airports now, I get extra pat down or whatever.
Because you took out a book on Islam, you think? Lauren,
well, they look at my library records.
Yeah. I mean, Lauren, has it gotten that bad? I mean, if to Bob's point on you take out a book on Islam and next thing you know, you're going to get patted down at the airport.
As far as I know, it's not that bad at this point, but it's worth pointing out that the whole kind of this is all part of what's called data retention. And the whole data retention mindset that is being established not only by firms that do it for their own purposes. For example, Google keeps, as far as we know, virtually every search record, every search query that's ever been made. Now, I don't expect them to do anything bad with those records. In fact, I have every expectation that they will, you know, protect those records. But if the government comes to them and says, give us this, ultimately, they're going to have to comply with the law, whatever the law is at that point. So, and right now, we still have, ironically, at the same time we have this FBI report out about abuses of the Patriot Act, the Attorney General, Gonzalez, has been out there pushing very hard with help from members of both parties in Congress. This is a strange bedfellows kind of situation for mandated data retention that would require Internet service providers to start with. To maintain data for considerable periods of time on who's doing what on the Internet and who's connected where and all these kinds of things. If you collect that kind of data, if you have it, then it's open for abuse. And the only way to prevent that is not to hold on to it. So that's a really important area. So while I think it's unlikely that random checking out of books on Islam are going to get people on any kind of lists, it's certainly the case that if we create an environment where there's pervasive surveillance, we could see a situation in the future where monitoring of what people do in those regards would become very, very common. And then what would seem unlikely now could become routine tomorrow.
Do we even have the infrastructure for the FBI to be able to monitor every book withdrawal?
No. And in fact, given the advances in the Internet, it's unlikely that real attention would be even put toward physical book withdrawals. Most of the attention now is on electronic records.
Really?
Yeah, and on searches. It's just a lot easier to deal with than book sales and things like that. And even that is, you know, is focused. But unfortunately, again, this report suggests that focus has really kind of run awry.
Yeah, and so they specified all the different ways that FBI agents had failed to properly document their inquiry into somebody, and therefore, you know, they gave him really a big F and said there's just so much pervasive failure that it's beyond reason to think that this was, you know, just sort of an accident here or there. Do you have anything as a privacy expert? Have you been hearing from people who tell you that this is systemic, or that it's a situation where the FBI has made it totally permissible to not do the paperwork? I mean, and they just never cared. I mean, or is this just, you know, a bunch of lazy FBI guys and, you know, the four other guys in the office didn't fill out the paperwork properly, so why should I have to, kind of a thing?
I suspect it's all of the above and more. Much of this that goes on, of course, goes on in a closed environment where the outside world doesn't see it. That we've now gotten a glimpse in because of this report. But in general, you have all these different kinds of factors in play, but that doesn't really matter. What's really even of the most concern is, how did we even get to this point with all the promises
right.
about accountability?
Right.
To see this happen is really incredible.
Well, or at least accountability this far down the line just seems a little too late. But all right, let's go back to this then. Have you ever been spied on? We'll pick up the conversation next with you on the phones on Coast to Coast AM. Well, kind of doing open lines, but not really. Sort of doing open lines, but at the same time confining it in a couple of different directions, at least for the time being. And we're still looking to see whether anybody in the East Coast had any problem with their computer switchover after the spring forward in that time zone. It's happening a little earlier, and you may have heard there's some suspicion that some of these programs, which are pre-programmed to spring forward, are going to freak out a little bit. We don't know anything about it yet. No evidence that it is, but lots of evidence that people at least feel spied on, even if they haven't been. And we'll talk more about that. Lauren Weinstein is with us. Hey, Lauren, I was just looking up more on this case of the FBI investigation, which launched the conversation. And this is the part that catches me from, I think this is from the McClatchy newspapers. It says, that the FBI caught itself. They identified itself. I mean, they said 26 intelligence violations have been isolated by the FBI, and they were copping to 26. So then they begin this Justice Department review, and they find 700 cases. So how good can their internal audit be if the FBI only finds 26, but then they bring in an inspector general who finds 700 cases?
Yeah, and then the inspector general says that could be the tip of the iceberg because the data is so corrupted and inadequate in the first place, and so many records weren't kept that they don't really know either. So it just sort of keeps growing, you know, one level on top of another. You know, you were talking about the daylight savings time. I wanted to say one quick thing about that. The reason you're probably not seeing too many major problems with that right now is because millions and millions of dollars have been spent fixing things ahead of time because of this. And yet one has to ask, was it worth it? I mean, all the money and all the time that was spent to do this, and really it was just the work of one man pushing it through. A man who I respect greatly in certain respects. I mean, this was Congressman Markey, who he's very, very much in favor of Internet network neutrality, which I think is extremely important, and I support him fully on that. But he has sort of a fetish when it comes to daylight saving time. and we're all kind of on the receiving end of that tonight. He's the one that pushed this all through. I mean, basically single-handedly. And he based it almost entirely on 30-year-old studies from the mid-70s and his often repeated statement that daylight savings time puts a smile on people's faces. Well, okay, I mean, I like, you know, smiling as much as the next guy. But somebody really needs to do a cost-benefit analysis on this. So at the end of this year, I guess they're supposed to actually do a study and say, well, how much energy was really saved by all of this? But even if it turns out it's an energy loss, you wonder if everyone's going to be willing to go through the hassle to change it back again. So, you know, we're kind of down the path on this. I don't know how we're going
to
get out of it.
Well, now I know who to blame. Because, honestly, I mean, I did Coast to Coast Live, the show that runs before this. And, by the way, if people are listening on Streamlink or they want to go back and listen to that show, I would highly recommend it. It's with Charles Pellegrino, who is behind the Lost Tomb of Jesus doc last week on the Discovery Channel and the companion book. But if I did 4 hours before that, now I'm going to do Art's show here so Art and his new bride can have fun at Disneyland and spend the weekend there. And now I got to get an hour less sleep, thanks to Senator Markey. So after 8 hours, now I'm going to get an hour less on top of it. We'll come back. We'll get everybody. We want to find out, have you been spied on? When were you spied on? Did you suspect you were being spied on and then you were able to prove it or never been able to prove it? Next with Lauren Weinstein, our conversation partner on privacy on Coast to Coast AM. In for Art Bell, this is Ian Punnett. Top lawmakers have raised the possibility that Congress would seek to curb the Justice Department's powers in response to the admissions by the Justice Department that it had violated its own rules as well as the laws concerning privacy in the Patriot Act. By the way, too, Congress also raised the possibility that it would complain that they shut the barn door after the horse had already gotten out of the barn. So Lauren Weinstein, our partner on this, let's go to east of the Rockies where Ray is in Illinois. He, too, has been spied on Coast to Coast AM. Ray?
Yeah.
Who did the spying?
Okay. Do I have to name the agency?
No, I guess not.
I'd like to tell you how I know they spied on me.
Okay.
And then I'll tell you how they did it.
Okay.
I was working a site in near Interstate 70 in Illinois. And this place can't be seen from the road. And two people pull up in a little rental and engage me in conversation. I'm sitting on something like a golf cart. And so I said, so you work for this agency. And I tried to spell it with its initials, and the guy stopped me and corrected me very properly and pronounced it like he was very proud of working for them. I said, well, what do you do for those folks? And he looked at me and he went cold. He said, if I tell you, I am going to kill you. Now, I know you've heard the different variations of that, but he was stone serious. So the lady that engages me, obviously he was the muscle and she was the brains behind the thing, because they wanted to know something. I had been exposed to an electronic to some electronic mind control, and they wanted to hear it from me, and I wouldn't tell them. So I talked around it, and then all of a sudden, I found out how they knew that at that instant. Here comes this car flying in. This guy was a retired cop working for us, and he pulled in between us and started talking real fast. The lady looked through the cars at me sitting on the golf cart-like thing and said, interesting story. They backed out and left. But anyway, so I've had numerous times my friends would say, your phone's bugging in. I mean, this is constant. And so I'd already been to the Bureau.
Maybe that's why your phone connection here is so poor. We can barely hear you.
Can you hear me at all?
Yeah, I can hear you. You're breaking up a lot, Ray.
I'm sorry. Well, hey, I've got a lot of electronics around here.
All right. Well, very
good. But anyway, it goes on. I mean, this is a long, engaging story.
All right. Well, we have a lot of callers. So remember, we have a lot of people who are going to share that story. So I tell you, if it gets, what I'd like to do, if you want to, just feel free to send that to me, the full version of that in an email, and then we get to it next week. Let's get Kay in Arizona, Lauren Weinstein, privacy expert. We're talking about the FBI's investigation, essentially, of itself and all the violations it made, and it had to admit to spying on Americans. Hey, Kay.
Hi, Ian and Lauren. It's an honor. I think my phone is tapped, and I'll tell you why. I have a company name that I came up with, but you can bleep this from the conversation before it airs if you have to, can't you?
We don't even want you to take that chance that you're going to mention something we have to bleep. Because
I'm connected with a TV show here that has to do with things like UFOs and government stuff. And also, too, right after I was connected with the show, I went to this, I guess you can call it an anti-war rally. President Bush was here in the state, and he was a fundraiser for Senator John Kyle. And so about 600 Phoenicians showed up there. And anyway, so I was telling my friend this he was on a cell phone, I was on a landline. I started telling him about this, and he says to me, you know, Kay, if you start going to these things, the wrong elements may start taking your license plate, and they'll kill you. So anyway, long story short, the phone goes dead, and I'm thinking my friend forgets to charge his battery. So anyway, I hear this male voice on the line, and it's not him, and the voice says over and over again, Colding, 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 like 8 times, and I'm thinking, Holding? No, that's not it. Coding? No. So anyway, I hear this audio snow, I guess you could call it, or, white noise.
White noise.
And then my friend's, I hear my friend in the background very faintly going, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? His voice comes up again, and he's, you know, sounds like a normal, you know, normal, back to normal, whatever. So anyway, so I'm doing this internet research, and I come up with this company called Colding Technologies based in Mitchellville, Maryland. And what they do is they build the software that implements these various technologies, including what's called, I understand, signal analysis technology. And I also did a little more sleuthing, and their website states that they have high security contract work with the U.S. Army. So I'm wondering if some kind of automatic phone wiretapping kicked in because they heard the words kill and Bush and everything in the same conversation.
Were you saying anything about kill and
no,
Bush?
No, but my friend said to me, you know, okay, be careful if you start attending these anti-war rallies, because the wrong element can get your, you know, they'll take your license plate and they'll kill you.
I totally get that. Lauren, what would you say to Kay?
Let's talk a little bit about phone taps.
Okay.
And some of this. I mean, one of the rules about phone taps is that if your phone is being tapped professionally, you'll never know it by listening on the call. You won't hear clicks, you won't hear hisses, you won't hear buzzing. If it's done properly, it's done through the telephone network, it's done through a digital diversion of the data that represents the call. There's no way you're ever going to know by anything you're ever going to hear. So we can start from that. It is certainly true that in the post-9/11 environment, and because of changes like the ones we're talking about with the FBI report, there's a lot more surveillance going on. One of the things that's really important about these national security letters is that they are often used as the first step toward moving toward greater surveillance, like actually requesting to actually tap lines and to monitor conversations and things of that sort, rather than just get the data about who's calling who or who's sending email to who. That has greatly expanded. And there is a lot of technology that can now be brought to bear in focused cases. It doesn't exist to the extent that it can monitor the entire telephone network for everybody that says the word kill. If you did that, well, you know, there aren't enough disk drives even at Google to collect that much information, probably. Well, maybe there are.
But, we can't tell.
But the point is that there are there has been a real expansion in surveillance, and we now discover that it has been very badly kept track of, and in many cases has been done in ways that were very slipshod and just plain wrong and apparently just plain illegal. Another thing is that the technology has advanced to the point, and I can talk about this a little more if you want, where we have learned from court cases that there have been situations where the FBI has used ordinary cell phones as room bugs. This is not a science fiction technology. This is not a conspiracy technology. This is real.
Now, what do you mean by that? By a room bug, meaning they leave a regular cell phone on and up, or how do they? What do you mean?
The situation is such that most modern cell phones, because they're just software-driven devices, the software can be changed in ways that would allow those cell phones to be used as a bug and to either collect the information that's the audio from the room, even though the phone might look like it's turned off, for example. It's still going to be using battery power. It's still going to be, you know, doing all the things a phone has to do. But you wouldn't know that it was either saving calls within its memory and then transmitting them out later or transmitting them out in real time. And this was revealed in a court case I guess it was an organized crime case, actually, that this is now a technique that's being employed. And in fact, I recently, because I became interested in this, and I said, well, if the FBI can do this in legitimate cases, or at least what are supposed to be legitimate cases, it should be possible for people to do this illicitly also. Hmm. What one organization can do, someone else can do in terms of reprogramming phone firmware and making changes like that. And so I started discussing that on the network. You know, how would you tell? How could you tell if your phone was being used that way? It's unlikely that, you know, your phone or my phone or most people's phones would ever turn into bugs, but it could be done. And caused so many questions and so many requests for additional information that I put a video on YouTube just a couple of weeks ago, actually, that actually demonstrates ways to try to determine. And it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek because most people don't really have to worry about this.
Right.
But it's something that if people are interested in, if they want to run some simple tests on their cell phone that are just observational in nature, they can do that. Maybe they'll feel more comfortable and feel a little more secure that they're not having those kinds of problems.
How do the keyword search that at YouTube?
Yeah, the easiest way to do it through YouTube would just go to YouTube.com and just search for cell phone bug.
Cell phone bug.
And my video will come up right to the very top.
Toby is in Miami. He has been spied on Coast to Coast AM on the first time caller line. Hey, Toby, what was your first clue? When were you first suspicious, and were you ever able to prove it?
Kind of. First of all, though, I'd like to say here on the East Coast, my cell phone still reads in the 2 o'clock hour.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, that's going to be a real problem, the cell phones.
Yeah. But you can switch that yourself manually, right? I mean, you're going to be.
Of course.
Right. So there you go. Actually, we've heard from a lot of people who have called in. I'm glad you brought it up. That have all said, no problems. So far, nothing to report on the feared switchover on the daylight savings time. But, Toby, when did you first think you were being spied on?
I called into Coast to Coast one time before, and you hear a bit of static, and then you hear a stronger signal or a weaker signal, depending on, you know, what the circumstance is.
You mean when you're on the hold button, when you're on hold?
Exactly, okay. Exactly. And the people in the Fantastic Forum know what I'm saying. But I was talking to one of my friends up in New York, actually, and we're both 30-something. We were talking about money issues, how we're going to plan for our future. And I mentioned a person I used to work with, insert name here, from Pakistan. But when I said Pakistan, I heard the same kind of filtering and then a diminished signal. And I'm just wondering when the FBI did hear keywords, if it was an automated system. I guess it's picking up from where the other caller left off. But
okay, well, let's get an answer to that from Lauren Weinstein. What would you say, Lauren?
First of all, the technology, and this is as far as I know, and I like to think I'm reasonably well clued in on this, doesn't exist at this point to do total surveillance of the telecommunications network. It would be an incredible misuse of resources if you could do it, because that's not what you're interested in doing. You're supposed to be targeting individual people. But for the sake of the argument, let's say that the technology did exist in terms of enough capacity to do this. You'd never know. You'd never hear it. There's no reason You got to remember, the whole telephone network now, 99.999% is digital. It's just bits. And whether you're copying off those bits to record them somewhere or to analyze them or to look for keywords in this theoretical case, they're just copies of bits. It's never going to get back to your phone. You're never going to hear a thing. Unfortunately, there are so many poor phone systems and bad cell phones and horrible cell phone coverage and all the other things that make noises on phones that it's easy to confuse these. But one rule of thumb is that if you're hearing all this stuff, that probably means you need to change your phone service. If you're tapped, you're not going to hear it.
Well, if you're saying into your cell phone, can you hear me now? And somebody other than the person you're talking to says, yes, we can hear you just fine. Perhaps there's a problem.
Yeah, that could be an indication of something.
Okay, very good. Let's get to a few more. And by the way, do you want to spring forward with us, Lauren, for another half hour or so next hour?
Most certainly.
Okay. Wildcard line, Pat is in Upland, California, been spied on. Hey, Pat.
Hey, how are you?
You're talking with Lauren. Thank you so much on Coast to Coast AM.
Hi, Pat.
Nice to speak to both of you. Hello. Well, I have a concern. I'm just curious to know if your listeners out there are aware that their personal emails can be hacked into so very easy. You know, like your computer is as private as your journal on a kitchen table or the restaurant table. And I've had it happen to me by a family member, and it has caused such destruction in our family, and I'm really beside myself. I finally went into, I thought, well, I'll just type in. I was shocked. I'm still in shock, but I typed in familyhackinglaws.com just to see if there was anything on there. Oh, my gosh, you would not believe the information on just typing in those words or just hackinglaws.com. 10-year-olds can hack into emails, and this can cause all kinds of problems if you want your email, of course, to be private, and we all think it is.
Hey, Pat, what really amazing thing are you doing in your life that the rest of your family was dying to find out about?
Oh, you just would not have any idea.
Come on, tell us.
No, it's a sad situation. Okay. Sad situation, sorry. You know, with my daughter.
Sure.
And but this is not the first time. My father was killed in a mass murder.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the guy killed 9 people.
Oh, gosh.
And so I have been kept close tabs. I also got to know a gentleman by the name of Ted Gunderson, who told me exactly what was happening. And so I've been,
well,
you
let's
having... Go ahead.
I'm coming up to the top of the hour, Pat, so I'll tell you what, we'll just have... You listen off the air, and we'll get Lauren's response to that, Lauren Weinstein, about emails and about people listening, looking at your stuff. Again, we're talking about, when have you been spied on? How have you been spied on? The FBI says, oops, we did it again. And we'll talk more about it coming up next hour on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett.